Okay, well, the bishop spoke of sending our kids off to college with well-worn prayer books and tattered from use Bibles. And that image actually evokes my brother in Christ, Deacon John, over here, because he carried with him a Bible at class, during class, before class, during class, to lunch, to breakfast, to donut breaks, throughout seminary. That was literally, his Bible was literally duct taped together. And he was always reading it. And sometimes I have to admit we're recording, right? Oh well. We would poke fun at him because we were rightly embarrassed that he spent a lot more time with the scriptures, a lot more of the time than a lot of us. As I said, it's a great joy to have Father Deacon here doing what he does best, which is what he does second best is talking about youth ministry. What he does best is doing it. So he's doing it, as Bishop Michael has made him the chair of the department for the whole diocese. Father John is a native Pennsylvanian. He attended the Holy Cross Greek Orthodox Church in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, as a youth. He's still a youth. By my standards, a good thing. He graduated from Penn State in 2002, got his BA in psychology with a minor in human development and family studies. Graduated from St. Tikhon's in 2007 with his Master of Divinity. In 2008, Deacon John married his wife, Montesca Andrea, who of course is with us today, and moved to New York City. They're expecting their first child in just a few weeks. He is currently employed full-time as a recruiter and a trainer of foster parents for a large nonprofit agency in New York City. While at Penn State, Deacon John participated in the OCF from 1999 to 2002, serving as president for the last two of those years. During his time as president, the group developed from meeting once a week on campus with about seven students to a vibrant group of 25 or more students at an average meeting with multiple meetings and events of different types each week. These types of events included, during his presidency, they created events such as all-night prayer vigils at the nearby Holy Trinity Parish, where Father John Reeves is the pastor, weekly on-campus dinners, service projects, team-building outings, the sponsoring of students to do mission work abroad, and developing concrete definitions of what was expected of officers in that OCF chapter. In the year 2000, Father John was the catalyst and organizer for the Penn State chapter's first ever spring break service project, during which the Penn State OCF collaborated with Habitat for Humanity in St. Augustine, Florida, for a week-long home development project. That was followed in 2001 with a similar project in Lakeland, Florida. The Penn State chapter now has a paid chaplain and is perennially, one of the largest and most vibrant OCFs in the nation. And that's speaking only in terms of what was accomplished while he was there. He maintains his involvement as an alumnus, and this is kind of unique so far. From 2006 to 2010, Deacon John helped to create, organize, develop, and run the Orthodox Christian Penn State graduates into what is believed to be the nation's first OCF alumni chapter, complete with bylaws and officers' positions, its own newsletter called The Visionary, fundraising, a website, and reunions. And what next? Father has also collaborated with local clergy and interested laypersons to develop college campus ministry programs around the region, including East Stroudsburg University, the University of Pennsylvania, St. John's University, CW Post, and Long Island University, the Brooklyn campus. Additionally, he's consulted on pre-established chapters to aid their growth and stabilize their groups, including Marist College. He has led or guided others in having weekly Bible studies or topical discussions in many of these groups. From time to time, he's also been called in as a troubleshooting resource. Troubleshooting resource for these and other chapters in various stages along their paths. And he's currently the chaplain at CW Post on Long Island. Father was ordained to the Holy Diaconate in May 2010. And this occurred where he continues to be attached to Holy Trinity Orthodox Church in East Meadow, where Father Martin Krause, who's with us today, is the rector. His father, John, is involved in a variety of industries, both within the parish as well as outreach. On June 1, 2012, His Grace Bishop Michael appointed Deacon John to the newly created position of Chairman of the Department of College Ministry for the OCA Diocese of New York and New Jersey. And here's an excerpt from the mandate, the letter of commission that His Grace issued to Father John. His Grace says, "Although this ministry encompasses a broad range of activities and numerous campuses, the department has as its singular goal to encourage the college students of our diocese and those transferred to colleges near our parishes to fully participate in the life of the church through worship, witness, service, and fellowship while they are in college. This department will also help train leaders, organize events, provide consultation in campus ministry for pastors and lay leaders across the diocese. It'll maintain OCF-related data and a cache of ministry resources, and the department shall oversee future programs for our diocesan college students. Deacon John is also appointed by the National OCF Office to be chaplain for all colleges within the districts of New York and New Jersey." It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that Deacon has a love and a passion for sharing the gospel and ministering to college students for the glory of God. So please welcome him again. I got the statue, you got the wisdom. Thank you very much, Father David, for that introduction. What I want to speak with you about now are just kind of the practical, mundane steps that you need to take to start getting involved with campus ministry. Okay? And to begin this segment, I want to read from you a passage from Acts. Chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's right after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has just come down upon 3,000 or so souls. And so this is what we hear from St. Luke and his account in Acts. He says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." I'd like for us to keep this passage in mind throughout this segment of the talk, and throughout your time being engaged with college campus ministry. Now, to start getting involved with campus ministry, there are different ways you can start. I can't possibly tell you every single detail of every single campus. There's so much variety. There are so many specific things to each school. I'm going to speak in generalizations, and if you have any specific questions toward the end, I'll do my best to field those for you. So first I want to talk about just how do you get onto the campus, right? That's where the college students are. They're on the campus. So to access the campus, the first thing that you need to do, whether you're clergy, laity, a student, is let the university know who you are and what you want to do there. Identify yourself, okay? And there are different ways you can go about doing this. Probably the easiest way in most cases would be to discuss this with somebody in the Department of Religious Life at the school that you're attending or that you're planning to work with. Typically, you'll have a director of some sort. They probably won't be Orthodox Christian. They'll probably be either Roman Catholic or Protestant in most cases. But if you let them know that you're interested in doing this work, that you'd like to meet on campus and give them a little bit of background about why and what it is you plan to do, they're usually pretty receptive to that. Okay.
other than the Department of Religious Life, there are other avenues you can take. You can talk with the student government. The student government at each school is comprised of students. They may or may not have faculty involved as well. You could find out when their meetings are. Usually on the website for the school, that information will be listed. And you could attend that meeting, and you could contact them beforehand to ask them to put you on the agenda for the student government. You also have the Department of Campus Affairs, which could be kind of student life people for different clubs, different activities that may be happening on campus. Every university kind of has their own name for it, but student affairs is also a good place to start. And then just various club people. If you or other students that you know of are attending the school already, you can ask them to ask other people who are involved with some other club, how do I start a club on this campus? Very practical. Okay. In addition to that, and this was touched on before by both Ed and Andrew, you could, and I would encourage you to do this, be open to speaking about ethical things, religious things, whether that's as a guest professor for some course, whether it's being invited by somebody from the Department of Religious Life to speak on a pan-cultural or pan-religious forum of some sort. Be open to that. You might even want to offer yourself for that. I'm not saying necessarily to worship with other people, but to speak about your faith in a context where other faiths are being spoken about, and especially other cultures. That's one of our gifts in the Orthodox Church, I believe, is that we have all these different cultures to draw from. It's very easy to integrate yourself into the campus in that way. Now, once you've made contact with somebody at the school, whoever that person is, Department of Religious Life or what have you, you're going to want to find a space to meet, preferably on the campus. Okay. As ministry has it, and as I said at the outset, we want to always make a point to be reaching out, to going to where the college students are. Okay. It's fine if they happen to find their way into your parish, like I did at State College, but you also want to go out to them and make sure that they know that you're there as much as possible. So finding a place to meet on campus, again, you could do this in conjunction with whoever it is your contact is, the Department of Religious Life or what have you. Typically, meeting a meeting place on campus that works would be a chapel or religious life building of some sort. Those are usually pretty available. A student union building of some kind. Classroom building works as well. Or a cafeteria, even. Food is always our friend. So those are some places on the campus that you should consider meeting. Some places near the campus that you can meet, in case you can't meet on campus for some strange reason, would be your parish, if your parish happens to be located within walking or a short driving distance from a campus, or a nearby coffee house or diner or pizzeria, somewhere with food, somewhere you can kind of just relax and hang out and, you know, be sociable. I would not recommend a library, because talking is frowned upon in libraries, usually. So we have how to get onto the campus, finding space on the campus, and then identifying students. Okay? If you do not yet have students identified to get engaged with this ministry, there's some practical things that you can do. Again, you're going to want to do this in partnership with somebody else at the school that you're planning to do this with. The Department of Religious Life is usually an excellent resource for this reason. Depending on the school, the Department of Religious Life may or may not be able to give you a list of names of Orthodox Christians. I know Andrew said at UConn that it's becoming more difficult or impossible even. At Penn State, it was a similar situation when I was there. At CW Post, where I'm currently serving as the chaplain, they're very open to that. I just asked the director, he happens to be a Catholic priest, and he said, sure, I'll give you the names, no problem. And I said, can I contact them, or do one of the other students have to contact the other students? He said, no, be my guest. wonderful. Okay, but there's going to be variety. Every school has its own particular regulations with that. Andrew also alluded to the 40-day program by the National OCF, which is an excellent, excellent way to not only retain and track, but also identify Orthodox Christian students. And basically the idea of this program, this was its first year being done, is that parishes from around the country, from all jurisdictions, are submitting to the National OCF office names of graduating high school seniors, and the National OCF is creating a database of these names so that they can link them to parishes and campuses that parishes near campuses that they're attending. Also, another component that was alluded to, I think, by Ed, were student involvement or club fairs. At UConn, they said that they have 300 different groups. Penn State has several hundred groups. CW Post, where I was at, three of these such fairs over the last month, has probably about 50 to 70 groups, not as big. But that's an excellent way to advertise the fact that you're there, to let people know that there is an Orthodox Christian presence on campus. And you'll be very surprised at the sort of people and sort of questions you get at these fairs, so be prepared. I'll get into that a little bit more in a moment. Also, once you have kind of a meeting time and a meeting space scheduled, you're going to want to advertise your group in other ways. A very simple way to do that, of course, was through the internet, having a Facebook page. Very simple maintenance. You don't have to really create anything. People will just kind of find you. Also, putting flyers up on the campus. That you may or may not have to get permission for from somebody at the university. It's a lot of work for you to do it by yourself. If you have students identified already, that's something that's good for them to do. If you don't have students identified yet, sometimes the universities have people, students who get paid, you know, $10 an hour or something to go posting up flyers of all sorts all around the campus. So that's something you could certainly inquire about. You're also going to want, especially in this diocese in New York and New Jersey, you're going to want, and I think it's necessary to network with other parishes or nearby, regardless of their jurisdiction. This conference today is open to all jurisdictions. I invited every priest from every jurisdiction that I could possibly identify. The Greeks, the Antiochians, Rokord, Ukrainians, everybody. It's important because you're going to have students coming from these various backgrounds, right? They're going to be identifying themselves at the beginning anyway as being a Greek Orthodox Christian or a Russian Orthodox Christian or an Antiochian Orthodox Christian. And so there are these particularities and these uniquenesses to each of our traditions, as we're all well aware, I think. But if you have that good communication with the parishes who are nearby you, or at least if you're trying to establish that communication, that will go a long way. And it shows also the students, whether they're Orthodox Christian or not, that there is some sort of unity here, whether or not, even though it's not, you know, jurisdictional and ecclesiastical, that on a practical, down-to-earth, doing-the-work level, we are one, and we are doing the work together, and we do have a common vision. Also, you could contact the school paper. Most schools have a paper of some sort. They may have print as well as an online presence. I would suggest to you that you advertise when your group is meeting, possibly even the topic of your group, depending on how often you have to update your entries to the school paper. You'll want to just make sure that you get your information to them in plenty of time and check on the deadlines with that. So that's all if you do have students identified already. If you do not yet have students identified, some of the means of going about this are going to be similar. A great way to start identifying students, again, is through the National OCF 40-day program. Contact them, let them know where you are, let them know what college you're planning to work with or what college you are working with currently, and they may be able to direct some students your way. Again, you'll want to have a presence at the student involvement fairs. You'll still want to put flyers up around campus. You'll still want to have a Facebook or other social media page for your group, and you're still going to want to advertise in the school paper. Just get your name out there. Get the group's name out there. Now, you have in your folders many different handouts. One of them is just a little bit about student involvement club fairs. Some basic things to bring with you to a student fair, okay? Things like icons, a pen, a piece of paper, basic things that you might not think of necessarily. Tape, okay? Going to student involvement fairs is not only, though, a good way to attract Orthodox Christian students, it's a good way to attract students who are not necessarily Orthodox Christian, okay? Whether they are Christian of another background, whether they are atheist or agnostic, whatever their background happens to be, as I said in the outset, it's my firm belief, and it's my experience, that people, college students in particular, our millennial generation, is seeking to know the Lord. It's been my experience. Just at CW Post, when I was there, which is not a large school by any stretch of the imagination, I had 11 students sign up to be part of the group. Three of them were not at all Orthodox Christian. One is a lapsed Catholic, who's Hispanic. One had just come from a Christian camp, who's Protestant. And one guy who's Indian was just open to whatever, man. Okay. So we have these people seeking, and I didn't have anything fancy. I was next to the sororities and fraternities that had all these big elaborate books and billboards and posters and, you know, very colorful and decorative and eye-catching. All I had was an icon of Our Savior, an icon of the Theotokos, a couple other little icons, and a sign-up sheet. I wore my cassock, and there was our Orthodox Christian presence. All right. Also, the student involvement fairs are an excellent way for you to tie your Orthodox Christian Fellowship chapter in with other groups and other things that are happening on the campus. So, for instance, because this generation is so service-oriented, I know for a fact, because I spoke with them, that the Circle K group, which is a international community service organization, had, I think, the second most number of registrants at CW Post when I was there. Everybody wants to get involved with service. And actually, for many of the schools now, it's a prerequisite that in order to be an officially recognized club on campus, that you need to have student service involvement of some type per semester or per year. It's also a good way to find other Orthodox Christian students who maybe didn't see your table. I happened to go to some funky little magazine table. They were an offshoot from the newspaper, and the president of the group is a Greek Orthodox girl. So I started talking to her about, well, you know, in our church we have artwork too. And she's like, yeah, I know, I'm Orthodox. I said, oh, wonderful. Come join us. No-brainer, right? So it's a good way to invite people in. And don't be afraid of having people who are attending your Orthodox Christian Fellowship being involved with other groups also. That's okay. You know, students are very busy, but if what you're providing them at your meeting is valuable to them, they'll keep coming. You know, maybe they won't come every week, but they'll come. Now, what is in a meeting, all right? Again, there's a great deal of variety, and I think, Father John, you alluded to this question. You asked about worship and that involvement. Every group is going to look a little bit different, because every group has different students, has different clergy involved with it. Okay, so in a meeting, certainly, you want to begin your meeting, as Andrew said, with prayer. All right, that always has to be a component. You want to be praying for that organization, You want to be praying for the students specifically and for their needs specifically, okay? Especially finals week or midterms week, pray for them, pray with them, and ask them to pray with and for one another. As we read in Acts, right? That's our foundation. So you're going to pray at the beginning of meetings, you're also going to pray at the end of meetings. The studying part of it, there are different formats you could do with this. I know at UConn it's more student-heavy, student-led, and student-driven, and that seems to work for them. At other chapters, it's necessary that clergy are involved, and that the clergy are kind of the central point, and the questions are going to the clergy, and the answers are coming from the clergy, with discussion or by the students kind of around that. I am an advocate of having clergy be hands-on to the extent that they're able to do that with OCF work. I think it's important. I think that unless it's an already pre-established chapter, that most students today don't really care what other students have to say to them about matters of faith, especially coming from an Orthodox Christian background. You may have a different experience with that.
When the OCF started at UConn, it was very much one priest,
Right. Which underlines my point, so thank you. So you're going to want somebody there who the students, the Orthodox Christian students, feel comfortable asking these questions of, So that's important. You're going to want to have... If you're having a study, you can either study the Bible, which, as I said again from the outset, there's a huge deficit. People do not know the Bible these days. They don't know Acts. They don't know who the prophets are. They certainly don't know who Jesus is. Okay? So read the Bible with them. That's perfectly fine. You can also ask them at your first meeting of the year or first meeting of the semester, what sort of things would they like to discuss? What sort of topics interest them? Is it some kind of current event, something controversial? Is it something sexual? Is it something about stem cell research? Is it something else, I would shy away from political things because we're not really a political institution, but things that can relate back to the gospel directly, things that in one way or another will affect salvation, it's okay to go there, all right? And I would recommend that you do. In addition to Bible studies and topical studies, it's okay and it's good and it's a good witness to have prayer services on the campus. All right. Typically, you'll see that happening of people of all faiths and groups of all faiths in the Religious Life Building, which these days looks very nondescript, right? Because it's for everybody, very clean. So you're welcome to bring your icons there. Usually it's okay to bring candles, maybe even incense. Just check ahead with those sorts of things. And it's okay to have an akathist. It's okay to have a vesper service. It might even be okay to have a liturgy if you can swing it. All right. Every meeting that you have, you should have food. Okay. College students are poor, just like the rest of us, but they're even more poor. So college students love food. You should have, I would say, pizza is always nice and friendly and easy, right? It comes in 8 slices or whatever, easy to do the division, it works nicely. When you're fasting, the fact that you have food at your meetings is also a good way to teach the students about fasting. Because if you're used to getting a meat lover's pizza every week, and then all of a sudden you're in a fasting period and you just have regular pizza or no pizza or some kind of fruit or vegetables instead, whatever your practice happens to be, then you're teaching the students, this is a special time of year now. We're fasting now, and you can discuss that, and there's a clear example of that in front of you. Very practical. Also alluded to earlier was to be consistent. It's very, very, very important that you're consistent with your meeting time, with your meeting place, with the and preferably meeting on campus, all right, and for the length of your meeting as well. So if you advertise in the beginning of the semester that you're meeting Tuesdays at 6 p.m., And you do that for 2 weeks, and then you see, oh, there are only three students, and then you switch it to Friday at noon. Guess what's going to happen? All right? It's not going to be good for you. Now, will you get different students who might come to that? Yeah, you might. You very well might. And actually, at some schools, and this is becoming more common now from what I hear, some schools now actually have a designated period during the week or during the day, which is called Common Hour. And I know St. John's has this, CW Post has this. And basically, it's an hour each week or each day for all the clubs to get together and do their clubby things together. Okay. So if you have the time as a clergy or as a student to be at the Common Hour meeting and to have something else in the evening after most of the classes are over, go for it. But if you can only do one, stick with the one that you can do consistently. All right. Also, the length of the time for the meetings, usually somewhere between 1 to 1.5 hours is good, because college students are very busy people. They have a lot of studying to do. I would argue that they're busier today than they ever have been in the past. And there's a lot more pressure on them to actually focus on their studies now than there has been in the past, with all the economic joy that we have in our country at this time. So their time is valuable to them, and you're going to want to make sure to have them expect something of value to come from your meetings. Also, I would recommend that if you do meet in the evenings, that you meet not so late that they're getting ready to go to sleep or go partying, but kind of like dinner time is usually good, somewhere between 5 and 7 p.m., because if you think if the meeting starts at 7, you're going for an hour, that's 8. The students usually like to hang out or whatever. And just as we're going to do today, even if the students want to hang out until 3 in the morning, they're welcome to do that. But you need to end the meeting when you say you're going to end the meeting, to respect the time of all the other students who are there. Okay. Also, very important, and this is something, again, that Andrew alluded to, campus ministry should not be a para-church structure, meaning that campus ministry, college ministry, needs to be tied into the local parish community. So, you as priests and deacons who are going to be doing this ministry need to have some sort of presence with the group. That doesn't mean that you necessarily need to be there and be leading every group, although in the beginning I think that's a good idea, and I recommend it. But it does mean that the students should be aware that there's a parish nearby. They should be consistently welcomed and invited to come to the parish, though not beaten over the head if they decide not to. Okay. And if you happen to be in an area that it has more than one Orthodox Christian parish, whether it's an OCA parish or otherwise, it's okay if the students go to the other parish. And I would actually recommend that you encourage them to do that, because that'll help to defray some of this mindset that we have that I'm only Russian, or I'm only Greek, or I'm only Antiochian, or whatever. It's nonsense. We're Orthodox Christians, right? Also, another practical way of getting the students to the parish, and again, this was alluded to, but repetition is good. Organizing rides for the students to get there. So some colleges and some parishes are very blessed to be in a location where the parish is within walking distance of the campus. And long-term, my long-term vision would be to have that at every major university, to have an Orthodox parish within walking distance or across the street from every major university. I think that would be ideal. But what we have now is not that situation. So if your parish happens to not be within walking distance of the parish or of the campus, it's make sure when you meet the students, ask them, do you need a ride? Are you a commuter student? Where do you live? Do you live on campus? If you're a commuter student, do you live in town, or are you commuting from an hour away? Where are you coming from? And then that's a good way also to tie in other parishioners in your parish or other college students and get them involved in this ministry with you. You're also going to want to support financially and spiritually the students when they tell you that they want to get involved with service. It's going to happen. That's what this generation does. They love to serve. So take advantage of that. Let them serve. Not only let them, encourage them to do it. Help them to do it. So supporting them in doing that work would be things like helping them to organize or use the parish hall for, I don't know, a spaghetti sale or a bake sale as a fundraiser, or to use a car wash or what have you. There are many, many, many different creative ways out there. All you need to do is Google it. You'll come up with hundreds of them. All right. I also encourage you to have the college students, if they want to be involved with service projects, get involved with the National OCF program, which is Real Break. Real Break is basically doing community service either domestically or abroad for a week during their spring break, which is always a week long. And that's always a good way for the college students from a particular chapter to get together and bond, as well as to meet students from other chapters from around the country and form those connections. Similarly, I would encourage you to send the students that you know of each year to the college conference. The National OCF organizes a wonderful program. They've been doing this for many years now, and they actually have three college conference locations now. The first one, and the closest one to all of us, is at Antiochian Village every year, shortly after Christmas, usually starts a day or two after we celebrate Christmas on the 25th. And that's usually a short 3-day, 4-day program for college students from all over the region or all over the country to get together, to pray, to ask questions of different clergy who are there. There are different presentations. But again, it helps them to make those connections and build up their community beyond the walls of their parish. Going forward, one of my visions for this diocese, working both with National OCF and in my position within the diocese, is to begin to organize things on a regional level, as well as smaller district levels, to have campuses who are nearby each other to get their students together frequently, not just once a year, but maybe once every twice a year or four times a year or something like that. And really start to build up that sense of community, that sense of pan-orthodoxy, cross-jurisdictional communion that we all share and love. So, God willing, that'll happen soon. Some things that you should not do. Don't be disappointed. Okay? In the beginning, and then there are many, many, many examples of this, but in the beginning, you probably are not going to start with 20 Orthodox Christian students at your first meeting ever, no matter where you are. You could be at Arizona with 60,000 students. You're not going to get 20 Orthodox students at your first meeting, I guarantee you. It's not going to happen. Unless God so wills, then maybe. There's always the exception. But there are a couple of examples of this. One is with UPenn, University of Pennsylvania, which is not Penn State University, which is down by Philadelphia area, which now is actually a conglomerate of different Orthodox colleges getting together and doing their meetings that way. That's one of the chapters that I had consulted with in the beginning. And I told them in the very, very beginning, before there was a group there at all, I said, don't be disappointed if you only have 2 or 3 students at your meeting. Now, they have, I think, about 20 or so students at their meetings on average. Okay, they've been around for about 8 years, I believe, at this point. So, as an OCF, as an active OCF. So, there's that example. There are many, many other examples. And just want you to be mindful of that. Don't be disappointed. But you also need to be willing that if you only have 1 or 2 or 3 Orthodox Christian students who are there, are you going to make the drive out to the campus? You need to be aware of that in yourself before you commit to this ministry. Okay. Also, don't cancel meetings without warning. All right. If you have some pastoral emergency that comes up, you can email the students or tweet them or Facebook them or whatever, send them smoke signals, whatever works for you, okay? Whatever you established ahead of time. But if the students show up to the meeting for a week or two or three and you're not there, it's going to fall apart before it gets started, all right? Students understand that things happen and that you're busy people because things happen to them and they also are busy people. Just be honest with them and communicate with them. Having said that, don't make a habit of canceling the meetings. If you need to cancel it, if there's something pastoral as a priest or a deacon or a serious matter to tend to in your family, you know, do what you need to do. But certainly don't make a habit of canceling meetings without warning. Also, I would ask as we go forward at the diocesan and the national OCF communities together in conjunction, I would ask that if you are planning to get involved with this ministry, that you notify me, because it's part of what I'm supposed to be doing is know what's out there and helping you all. So shoot me an email, tell me where you're planning to meet, tell me maybe when you're planning to meet, who you're expecting there. This kind of stuff would be great. If I need more information from you, I promise I'll ask, and hopefully I'll get it. But I would really appreciate, and it would go a long way toward the development of this ministry throughout this region, if you would communicate that with me early on as possible. Also, There was some talk earlier by Ed and Andrew about being an officially recognized club on campus, okay? Every school has its own standards for what it takes for you to be a chartered member group of the campus, all right? There are some benefits to being a chartered group on campus. You get certain financial benefits. You'll have easier access to space, potentially, all right? However, it's not necessary. If you only have three students and a school like St. John's that requires 20 students for you to be an officially recognized club on campus, that doesn't mean that you can't meet on campus. You can still meet there. You just need to communicate with somebody, as I said earlier. Okay?